tyranny, forged by freedom. That's what made us the greatest nation this world has known. We must resurrect that spirit to preserve liberty for ourselves and our posterity. This is Revolution's Revival. And now, your host, the cigar-smoking, politically incorrect, patriot of the hour, Caleb Shoemate.
There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear? Those words, ladies and gentlemen, are a portion of the lyrics of Elvis Presley's If I Can Dream, which closed out his legendary 1968 comeback special. Now, you may have heard what I just read and have thought to yourself, what in the world are you doing talking about Elvis, Caleb? What does Elvis have to do with politics? What did he have to do with politics in his day? What in the world does he have to do with politics now? The man's been dead since 1977. Well, he may be physically dead, but the spirit of Elvis lives on. And I believe it is my responsibility as someone doing this show and trying to help the American people make sense of where we've been and where we're going as a nation. It is my responsibility to help you get the story right, to tell you the right story. You can't help people unless you tell them the right story. If we don't tell the right story, we'll just get mixed up and we'll be running around in circles, and we'll certainly head for destruction. So that's why I'm talking about Elvis, because I believe Elvis is very important to the story of America. Elvis came up at a time when America was deeply segregated. We were not living up to our national promise, and we hadn't been for a while. The idea that all men were created equal. You know, we went through slavery. At the time, we were going through Jim Crow and all the segregation laws, which were very much opposed to Thomas Jefferson's statement that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That was the idea. But as I said, the laws in the country at the time did not reflect it. I got an opportunity to watch the Elvis movie that Baz Luhrmann made. Now, this movie is great, guys. I'll tell you, as a lifelong Elvis fan, I had high hopes for this movie. But also, as a student of history, I know that you can very seldomly count on Hollywood to get a story right, regardless of the topic. If it has anything to do with history, they very seldomly get the story right. Matter of fact, most of the time they end up trashing it. But I want to applaud Baz Luhrmann, who directed the movie, Austin Butler, who starred as Elvis, and Tom Hanks, who was his manager, Colonel Tom Parker. I want to applaud those guys, because they really did the story justice. They captured the spirit of Elvis in this movie. And as a lifelong fan, I couldn't be happier. I'm someone who has been obsessed with Elvis really since childhood. Elvis was the first artist that had a tremendous impact on me. I grew up with boomer grandparents, and so the music of the 50s, 60s, and early 70s surrounded me at all times because I had a very close relationship with my grandparents. So Elvis was a big part of my formative years. And Elvis was the first artist who had a tremendous impact on me. And I've always loved music. So I was very excited to see this film, but very hesitant because I didn't know, you know, how it would play out. The only criticism that I can say is that Austin Butler, Didn't look a whole lot like Elvis, but he certainly captured the spirit. He had the voice as close as you could probably get it. He had the mannerisms down pat, and they certainly captured, I believe, the feeling of Elvis toward his career, toward people, the relationship between Colonel Tom Parker, his manager, and the frustration he experienced between himself and Colonel Tom Parker. And also, early on, there was some frustration between him and his mother. I actually think that Elvis, even though he loved his mother dearly, anybody that knows anything about Elvis knows that he loved his mother. He was very much a mama's boy. But his mother, I think if she had her way, she would have smothered him to death, and he would never even recorded. He wouldn't have got much, well, he may have recorded, but he wouldn't have got much further than Center Records. He would have probably had to go back to driving the truck. But a lot of his frustrations creatively, and then the government pretty much trying to silence Elvis because they thought he was being too black. But like I said, this is a time when America was still deeply segregated, and there was a lot of racial tension between white and black Americans. Unless you were very poor the way that Elvis was, and then segregation I don't think was that big of a deal because you were both in the same spot. Elvis was the only white guy in the neighborhood that he grew up in Tupelo. Elvis was very much influenced by black music, gospel, rhythm and blues, blues music. But it is very disingenuous to say that Elvis stole black music and made it commercially successful. Now, he did make the music successful, but it wasn't strictly black music. It was a blend of these things and country music. That's what rock and roll is. It's a blend of gospel, both black and white, blues, rhythm and blues, which is undeniably black music, and country music, which is primarily white music, if you will. Now, I don't believe that there's any such thing as black music or white music. We're just looking at who is predominant in each of these styles and genres of music. But he blended all those things together and created rockabilly, which is early rock and roll. And he was the George Washington, if you will, of rock and roll music. There would undeniably not be rock and roll music if it wasn't for Elvis. Now, why is this important? This is important because the people who would try to divide us along racial lines would have you believe that America is fundamentally racist, that racism is in our DNA, that it's an original sin, if you will, and unlike Christianity, where there's repentance and forgiveness, there is no forgiveness of this original sin of racism in these people's minds that would have us destroyed. There's nothing you can do to repent of racism, and America must be fundamentally transformed. The importance of Elvis's story when it comes to racial lines and what I think we can learn about it today and apply it to today is during his time of coming up professionally in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we were very segregated, much, much worse than anything we will face today along racial lines. And he kicked down the barrier. He didn't march with Martin Luther King. He didn't make speeches about civil rights. But you can tell, if you study the life of Elvis, if you know the stories of his life, that he was opposed to segregation, that he thought that white and black Americans should have equal rights under the law. And he helped create a culture through his music that fostered or helped to foster the civil rights movement. And I will give him credit for that. I don't think that he is given credit for that. Some of these things that we're experiencing in the culture today, this progression towards big government, is because of a culture that we've created. We have created a culture that squashes innovation. We have created a culture that is anti-self-sufficiency. We have created a culture that is very divisive and cancerous. And it is antithetical to what Elvis did. Elvis, at his time, through his music, decided to break down those barriers. He saw something in black music and took it and created a unique style. Like I said, rock and roll music at the time, there was nothing like it. Nobody had ever heard it. And he suffered early on. He suffered because in the minds of the racist, who unfortunately controlled the culture at the time, he was too black. But because he was a white guy, he was able to kick down some of the barriers. Now, some of you may have thought, well, he had white privilege or whatever. No. Elvis, in the minds of the segregationist, was the same as a black man. And unfortunately, at the time, blacks were not considered equals. Not under the law. There were people who thought that black Americans were less of a human being. Elvis didn't see it that way. And Elvis fought through his music to create a culture to where we looked at people not based on their skin color, but by the content of their character, much like Martin Luther King. In fact, I'd like to share with you a couple of stories. As I said before, Elvis did not march with Martin Luther King, but he was very sympathetic to Martin Luther King's message. Matter of fact, the lyrics to his song, If I Can Dream, that I read at the beginning of the show, that song, which closed out his 1968 comeback special, was inspired by Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, who had both died. They were assassinated earlier that year. 1968 was a tough year for America. The world was pretty much on fire. As I said, both Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy had been assassinated. You think about it, John F. Kennedy had been assassinated 5 years earlier in 1963. The 1960s were not happy times in America. We had a war in Vietnam. And Elvis, when he came back in the late 60s, because his career suffered musically because of decisions that Colonel Tom Parker had made, putting him into movies, he got locked into a movie contract, and his music suffered because he was making these corny-ass movies that he hated. Elvis, if you watch any of those movies, guys, Elvis pretty much sang everything, and they were little corny songs, you know, stupid things, not like Hound Dog or Don't Be Cruel or Tutti Frutti, any of the real rock and rollers that he'd recorded in the 50s, in the early 60s, after he got out of the Army. But in 1968, when Elvis came back, he sort of reinvented himself. And I believe that it was the perfect time in history. Elvis came back, and the world needed a unifier. Elvis was very much a unifier. You can tell by the people that he surrounded himself with. He was surrounded with a variety of people. He wasn't just surrounded by strictly white people. One of his key backup groups in the Vegas years, so 1969 after the special, through the end of his life in 1977, was the Sweet Inspirations, and they were a black gospel group that he hand-selected to sing backup vocals for him. And there's a story Elvis opened the Houston Astrodome in 1970. So this is when he came back, and he's full swing, you know, full force. After all the sucky movies, he came back and he's doing what he loves. He's doing music again. And the people at the Houston Astrodome, they really wanted Elvis because Elvis, I mean, he's the king of rock and roll, so who wouldn't want him? And he's back doing what he loves, so he has that new fire back in his belly. And the people who ran the Houston Astrodome, they told him, Elvis, we want you, we love you, but you know what? Leave the black girls at home. And that deeply offended Elvis. And Elvis referred to these girls as his girls. And he said, if they're not coming, I'm not coming. And not only are they coming with me if you want me, but they're going to ride in a Cadillac right behind me with the top down so everybody can see them. And who's going to deny Elvis? I mean, he's the king. So he got his way, and the girls rode around the Houston Astrodome in front of everybody where they could see him, and they were waving at everybody and smiling. Now, you may have heard what I said and thought, what a big deal that is. You know, who cares? It was the early 70s, guys. Civil rights was still a big thing. There was still a lot of racial tension, and this was in Houston, Texas. So you're in the Deep South. This was a huge deal at the time. So even that small act could have cost Elvis dearly, but he didn't care. He did what was morally right and said to hell with the consequences. I think that's what we can learn from Elvis, is having the courage to do what is morally right and believing in ourselves when we know we're in the right, in spite of what the culture tells us. Say, culture be damned, I'm going to create. I'm going to innovate. I'm going to do what I can to make the world a better place. That's what Elvis did. And this movie shows that very well. This movie displays the tension, because there was creative tension between Parker, who really didn't care about what Elvis did creatively. He just saw the gift in Elvis, and he promoted it. Now, that's not to say that there would be no Elvis without Colonel Parker. Yes, Colonel Parker helped to launch Elvis into the big time, into the national scene, because at the time that Colonel Tom Parker came into Elvis's life in the 50s, he was just a regional sensation. He was recording at his first label, Sun Records, and then Colonel Parker saw him, they met, and he's like, who is this guy? You know, he heard him, he thought he was a black guy, like I said before. A lot of people at the time when Elvis came out in the 50s thought that Elvis was a black man, and so he suffered commercially because a lot of the white radio stations wouldn't play him. They thought he was too black, but Elvis kept on going. Elvis was a giant. He shook things up so much, and the movie does a wonderful job of displaying this. He shook things up so much, a lot of people don't realize that he went into the army to get the heat off of him because they thought he was too black. Segregationists were threatening to put him in jail. He had death threats against him at the time. His shaky leg and his style was considered too sexual at the time, and he was considered a contributing factor to juvenile delinquents. Now that sounds ridiculous, but that's exactly how it was. He had the segregationist dander up, and the movie displays this in the best way I think possible. I believe the reason that we need this Elvis movie so bad right now is because there are people who would have you think that America has always kept its thumb down on a certain segment of our society. They would have you believe that it's not the laws of the time, but that America is the problem. that because America is fundamentally racist and the devil, so to speak, that we must completely, fundamentally change America. And Elvis's story completely destroys that idea. Because even at the most segregated time, when portions of our people couldn't interact because laws were in place that kept them from being together, a poor white boy from Memphis, Tennessee, with a shaky leg, was the great unifier, even if he didn't intend to be so. He was the great unifier between our cultures. And his music created an environment which I believe helped culturally foster what was going on politically, the political changes that dismantled segregation. So Elvis gets credit for that in my book. And this movie does a wonderful job of displaying his influences. It does a wonderful job of showing his frustrations of trying to create. And Colonel Tom Parker, who really was a snake. Parker was a piece of crap that took half of everything Elvis made. And he only saw what Elvis could be. And to a great degree, exploited him for his personal gain. But Elvis was the creator. Elvis was the innovator. And I believe he allowed himself to be taken advantage of to a degree because he had a very weak father. Elvis's father, Vernon, was a very kind of weak man. And the movie does a good job of displaying that as well. But because he didn't have a good father figure, I think that Colonel Tom Parker, good and bad, because he did do some good. He did help launch Elvis and market Elvis in a way where he became a national sensation. But he also greatly exploited Elvis because he took a lot of what Elvis made financially. He also stifled his creation, and Elvis had to fight back. There was a lot of tension between him and his manager later in his career because Parker just wanted to make money. Parker really didn't care about what Elvis was trying to do and what he wanted to do creatively. He wouldn't let him tour outside of the U.S. because he was an illegal immigrant. And so there was a lot of tension between the direction Elvis thought his career should go and what Parker, the leash that Parker wanted to keep him on, so to speak. But I will tell you that this movie was so well done. And again, I want to thank Baz Luhrmann, Tom Hanks, and Austin Butler for making this movie and keeping the legacy of Elvis alive. But I think that every American should see this movie. It's definitely a movie that we need right now because we're very divided, I think, as a culture. There are people in this country who want to divide us because they want to destroy America. And they know that if they can divide us, they can conquer America. They know that if we stand together as a united people, one nation united, that they could never destroy America. So what do they want to do? They want to divide us up by race, class, religion, politics, political party affiliation, anything that you can think of to try to get us at each other's throat. And I firmly believe that if Elvis's music could unite us at a time when America was arguably at its worst, culturally, that a movie about his legacy can unite us once again if we learn the lesson that is such an integral part of his story, that we're really not all that different. And if we can unite as people and understand each other's differences, but see the humanity in our fellow Americans and not allow our differences to degrade the humanity of our fellow countrymen and stand against the forces of evil. In his day, it was the laws of segregation. Stand against those forces and create a culture which fosters individual liberty and fosters what I believe is the American spirit, then we can overcome. Elvis overcame in his day. Elvis is the best-selling solo artist of all time. And so I believe that if you see this movie and you see what he went through, that it will inspire you. Even if you're not an Elvis fan, I think you can appreciate the story that is Elvis. And you can appreciate what he did for America and what he did for American culture at the time. And I believe that it will help to heal the divide that is in the culture if we allow this message to take root in our hearts. I would strongly recommend that even if you're not an Elvis fan, that you go see this movie. I'm not going to lie to you guys, I shed a few tears because it really tugged at the fiber of my being. It really tugged at my heartstrings. I think that you will leave the movie theater after you see this. You will leave the movie theater feeling inspired. You will leave the movie theater, even if you're not a fan of Elvis, with a deep appreciation for who he was and what he did. So with that in mind, I'm deeply appreciative of what these guys did creating this film, because I believe that it was a great tribute to Elvis's legacy. And I think that it will give future generations a deeper appreciation for this guy who was a real, not just rock and roller, but a cultural shaker. And that's what we need. We need people who are not afraid to do what is right in spite of all the odds being stacked against them. And I believe that this story helps drive that message home. This may not have been the topic that some of you were expecting, but I believe that it was good and necessary to talk about this, because I believe that some of the issues we're facing cannot be solved by politics, and they're rather a cultural one. And I believe this movie will serve as a good inspiration to show that if the people of the past can overcome their issues, so can we. This has been another episode of Revolutions Revival, and I'll see you in the next episode.